Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
The Burt Show.
Something doesn't smell right here.
Something doesn't smell right.
Did you fart?
No, it's not literally.
Rita's boss might be doing something doesn't smell right, and we got to get to the bottom of it.
All right, so Rita reached out to us because everybody in the office doesn't want to get the same gift from her that they typically get every year for Christmas. This is going to be the third year in a row that she does a donation in their name on their behalf, which you think sounds really, really sweet. The problem is the organization she is donating to has some very sketchy practices and is actually on the list of the 10 charities you should not donate to. Because she's the boss and they don't know what kind of ties she has with this organization, nobody in the office wants to break this news to her that this probably isn't the charity you should be donating to, and we really don't want our names attached to it and you donating on our behalf. So Rita asked us to reach out to the boss to be like, hey, yeah, this charity is not the best, and you should probably choose a different one. Hey, maybe Burt's Big Adventure.
Yeah, right. We're all in on that. Rita, just for anybody hanging out with us for the first time this morning, what's the name of this charity?
It's called Kids... God, it's...
Kids Wish Network.
It's the Kids Network, yeah.
The Kids Wish Network.
Kids Wish Network, yes.
I just did a quick search. I see it here. Okay, so for the last 3 years, you said she has been donating to this one organization.
Well, this will be the third year. I think we're trying to intervene before she pulls this stunt again.
Okay, and you wanted us to just sort of reach out to her and say, look, you might want to do some research on this place because it's not very good, but you also don't want to rock the boat with your boss. So, Tom, you want to take it from here, our show director?
Yep, Rita, so I reached out and I emailed your boss. I explained who I am. I'm with the Burt Show. I explained my reason for reaching out. And this is what I said in the email.
Okay.
First and foremost, we truly believe your heart is in the right place. But we regret to inform you that the charity you donate to on behalf of your employees is, in fact, on the list of the worst charities to donate to.
It's definitely the S list.
Here is the link, and I included the link, to why Kids Wish Network is currently not a stand-up charity. Additionally, we found this information. Kids Wish Network has been the subject of negative publicity throughout its history, including accusations of trademark infringement, tax avoidance, and inefficient fundraising practices. It was named the worst charity in the nation in a 2013 review of charities spending practices.
This is a big country. They have really done something very, very special here. Well, if you're gonna do it, be number one.
You always say, Burt, there's the worst and there's the best,
yes.
And they are by far the worst. In 2012, of the $18.6 million the Kids Wish Network raised.
Damn.
Guess how much was spent on granting wishes?
Well, she said it was something.
$18.6 million.
It was 2.3% or whatever.
$240,000.
What?
Of the $18.6 million.
Do they identify where the rest of the cash is going? Is it like CEO makes $10 million a year or something like that?
I don't have that information. I only have the numbers.
Oh, boy. All right.
I continue to say, because we believe your heart is in the right place, we wanted to make you aware. And we wanted to throw out that maybe you could donate to our nonprofit, Burt's Big Adventure. Hey, don't waste an opportunity.
Right.
On behalf of your coworkers instead, here's a link to Burt's Big Adventure and our charity rating. It's a 4 out of 4. Thank you for your time and happy holidays. And we're calling the boss Carol. So, Carol responded not too long after I sent that email. And Carol said, I am floored by this information. And remember how I said she may or may not have ties to this organization?
Yeah.
I am floored by this information. We were neighbors with the family that started this charity.
Whoa. Mm.
I've been donating to them since 1998.
Ooh, oh, that's a punch in the gut.
I will need to do further research, but I do appreciate you bringing this to my attention. I wish my employees would have felt more comfortable disclosing this information. That's something I will have to address later. I will also look into your nonprofit to see if our mission aligns with my beliefs, Carol.
How could it not? Yes. Wow. So you're getting what you want here.
Yep.
She's taking it upon herself, the responsibility that she should have done the work on it. She also feels bad that she doesn't feel like, well, you clearly aren't comfortable going to her. So she's going to try to readdress that. Outside of the wasted money she's given to this charity, it's a win-win all the way around for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I do feel terrible that, you know, she's been donating for so long and, my God, that, you know, she was neighbors with these people. I mean, they're corrupt.
Yeah.
It would have been a lot longer if you didn't say anything.
Yeah. Yeah. At least you put an end to it here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, Rita. Well, follow up with us and let us know how it goes. It sounds like every adjustment you want is about to happen here. She'll probably open up some dialogue with you guys, and you're going to be given to a different charity.
Or maybe you'll finally get that Jelly of the Month Club membership.
There you go. All right, Rita.
I mean, at least that's legit.
And it's tasty.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
We got an email. We read it, and we were like, yeah, this is way above our pay grade. We need to call somebody in with... like in-depth knowledge of the situation. And the email says that her boyfriend wants to transition into a woman and she's not sure how to handle the situation. And so she wants support, you know, she wants to support their journey, but she also doesn't know if this is a relationship that she can remain in. So we have brought in a friend of the Burt Show, Sarah. Welcome back.
Hello, hello.
Hi, Sarah.
And you had been on the show with us before when we did our, for lack of a better, we did like an Ask a Gay panel, right?
Yeah. That sounds a little strange, but yeah.
Yeah, out of context that when we're not doing it during Pride Month, it sounds weird in December to be like, so we did Ask a Gay.
Right.
I believe the politically correct term was LGBTQ plus panel.
Yes.
There we go.
And yours was a very unique situation.
Yes. Yes, it was. So hopefully I can do this justice.
I'm sure you can. So just explain to everybody a little bit about your relationship and why we brought you in here to offer some advice.
Okay. Well, my name is Sarah. My pronouns are she, her. My husband is a transgender male. He has been my girlfriend, fiance, wife, and husband. So, you know,
Do you celebrate each one of those, by the way?
Well, actually, his medical transition date is the anniversary of our wedding. He was like, do you mind if we do this? You know, next year is going to be our wedding date. And I'm like, yes, I cannot remember another anniversary. So
that works.
My husband can remember like his ex-girlfriend's dog's birthday. And I'm like, when's my mom's birthday again? Yeah. I think I got it. You know, so yes. That is why I was here.
Right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So when we got this email, we're like, okay, we know who to call.
All right. And so the email reads, hi, Burt Show. My name is Alana. I'm from England. A longtime listener and a big fan. I desperately need some advice from the Burt Show fam as I don't have many friends I can come to about this. I'm 27, a straight female. My boyfriend is a 20-year-old bisexual male. We've been together about 3 months now, but I've been friends for over a year before we got together. We have what I would consider is the perfect relationship. We care so much about each other, have said the L word. He's so loving and sweet. I haven't felt this way about somebody in a long time. He truly means the world to me after only a short period of time. Well, we went out for dinner the other night, and he told me some big news. My boyfriend is transgender and wants to become a woman. What? I don't want to sound insensitive to the LGBTQ plus community. My own mother is a lesbian and I have several gay friends, but this has come out of nowhere. Yeah, he likes show tunes, but we're theater kids. Honestly, I'm in shock. After I'd stopped crying, we spoke a lot in depth and he told me he wants to go fully in, makeup, hair, clothes, the works, but not have the bottom surgery yet as it scares him. I'm heartbroken because I feel like our relationship is over. The future I had pictured can't happen anymore. The man I fell in love with will change. I love his personality and who he is at his core, but I am not gay. If he transitions into a woman, I will be here to help every step of the way, but I don't know how a relationship would work when I'm not attracted to women. We love each other so much and he's hoping there is a way to stay together, but neither of us are okay with opening up the relationship. So please, Burt Show, if you have any advice, I'd be really grateful to hear, as I am completely lost.
Yeah, I don't want to speak out of turn here, but I would say this as somebody on the outside looking in, is that give yourself some grace on having these mixed feelings for a while.
Yeah.
This is jarring. You thought your life was heading in one direction, and now all of a sudden it's heading in the other. It doesn't matter what the subject matter is. That's going to be jarring either way. And there's probably guilty feelings of like, well, I said that I was going to love this person unconditionally, and now it's all changing. Did I even really mean that? So give yourself a little bit of grace there.
Yes, I actually wrote a little disclaimer for the very beginning, so hopefully everyone can have the appropriate open ears from both sides. And I want to make sure I do this justice, because it is a very heavy email on both sides of things. And I wanted to make sure I got it right. I did a lot of homework for this one.
You're sweet.
First and foremost, it is important to me to say that I can only speak for myself based off my collective experiences. I would ask for anyone in the community listening, if that email struck a nerve, to give her grace, as she has no knowledge in this realm and has had her life, as she knows it, turned upside down. I give her so much praise for reaching out to help and not just running away, as so many do. It speaks volumes to me of the love she has for her spouse.
For sure.
Now I can speak freely, okay, but I just wanted to make sure that is known, because that email, when I wrote it, you know, at first, you know, I was asked, hey, can you come on and talk about how to support your trans spouse? I was like, yes, I got this. I do this on the daily. And when I read it, I went, oh.
Yes. Oh. You're like, who can I call?
This is very different. And the email, I can guarantee you at least a handful of people went, this is very alarming and this is really not okay that she said it this way. But people forget that you have to give people grace. And this is why people have such a hard time asking the questions, is they're afraid of the backlash. Mm-hmm. So in my life and multiple occasions, I've become kind of like the queer liaison, like kind of the person that brings the world together. So I feel very honored to be able to do this. And I really hope that I can help. So
when your transgender husband came to you and said, this is what I want to do, how did that play out for the both of you?
Well, I knew first.
Oh.
You know, I already knew. It wasn't my first rodeo. I had already, that situation had happened to me before. But what was different is I did not expect how much it would affect me in the sense of having to change my identity like that. You know, I had fought so hard to be a lesbian in a very conservative town. Roswell was not as open as it is now. And as a hairstylist, to say she instead of he when being asked about my partners, that when I had to all of a sudden switch to a straight passing person, it really hit me to my core. Like, no, I fought this hard to be this way. I am this way. I don't want to be looked at this way. And it really took everything in me for someone to be like, hey, is this your husband? And be like, yes, but don't worry. He's trans. I'm queer. Like, I'm not straight. I'm not in that club. You can be, but whatever. But that outs my spouse. So I'm in a very different but almost kind of same realm of worrying about the identity part, if that makes sense.
It does. Mm-hmm. You're so well-spoken about this. I'm so glad we brought you in. Well,
listen, this is a big thing to talk in such a short amount of time. Mm-hmm. You know, I was back there. And I don't think that, he's so wonderful. His name starts with a K.
Cavante?
Cavante. Yeah.
Couldn't have been Kay Lee.
Yeah, no.
He doesn't identify that way.
He doesn't identify as kind.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, he doesn't identify that way either, but he sat and learned, and he just sat there, and I was like, I bet you had no clue this morning that you were about to learn all this. I gave him the gingerbread person that I gave you all, too.
Right?
So tell us about our gingerbread person that we have in front of us.
So the big thing when I read this email is she talked a lot about identity, and I'm not a lesbian, and this person is going to change. And this is kind of like very breaks it down to its very baseline, right? So in this front of us, we have, it looks like a gingerbread man, but we call it gingerbread person. You've got a rainbow brain pointing to identity, attraction pointing at a heart, sex and where the organs are, and then expression is all over. One thing you'll see is none of these are tied together. They're all separate entities. So for me, I am cisgendered, meaning I was born in the same body as my gender. I express in glitter and glitz and femme. And my attraction is, identity is queer. And none of that, all that can change. You know, I have been straight, bi, lesbian, and queer. It's an evolving thing. Just like Bert, if you came in one day in a tutu and said, I'm still Bert, I'm still male, but I really want to wear tutus, all for you.
Okay.
That's the difference of expression. It does not change the core.
Okay.
Meaning.
Thank you for giving me that freedom. Boy, do I have a surprise for you guys tomorrow. Right.
So here's the thing is, just because you're not a lesbian doesn't mean you're not going to be attracted to your partner. They're not women. They are that person. So you might be surprised. And I think one thing about this email that is very like, I feel like I need to figure this out right away. I need to figure this out. But here's the thing is relationships can end at any time. It doesn't mean you have to figure this out in this moment. You can say, you know what? Let's see how I feel. The number one thing you can do right by this partner is giving the relationship a chance as long as your goal is to do right by them. And sometimes that does mean leaving. But sometimes that means staying and giving it a chance and not trying to put this end date on it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Obviously it is, and you're 1,000% accurate, Sarah, when this is like, it was a very nuanced, layered email. There's a lot to cover in it. If Alana's like, yeah, I can't do this, I can imagine somebody in that position would feel so bad. How do you forgive yourself for that?
Well, once again, it comes down to sometimes doing the right thing by that person is leaving.
Okay.
You know, it really does, because transitioning is hard enough, right? But here's the thing is, it's also hard on the partner. And that's not really talked about as well. Because, you know, someone who's going through the motions is being immediately attacked, right? They're having to change. They're going through puberty again at 50 sometimes, you know. But sometimes the partners are left being like, okay, my life just got turned upside down. How do I handle this? So I would suggest her go to therapy either way.
Before even
making this decision at any point, go to therapy, not to figure out how to help your partner, but to figure out your own emotions about the whole thing. You might find that part of you is just worried about what people will think, or that you've identified this certain way. And also by you going to therapy, you're allowing that partner the freedom to figure themselves out without having to worry about you and your opinions and your emotions. My biggest advice would be, if you need to like figure it out per se, give it 3 months. Everything cycles out in 3 months. Like our bodies, it takes 3 months to lose or gain weight easily. Why not give it 3 months for your heart too? You know, now I do have a really great reference for them. There is actually this person named Shay on TikTok. She was born male, and him and his wife have 3 kids, and they're in the Mormon religion. And then he came out as trans later in life. Like when I mean later, I mean like way later. And his Mormon wife went, all right, let's see if we can figure it out. And it's actually made them happier than ever. Those things that she said, I'm worried, like I love this person to the core. Things are going to change. Who's to say they're not going to change for the better? Mm. When you're trying to not have to hide yourself, You're not getting that full person to begin with. You're getting whatever they feel comfortable with. You might be surprised that when that relief goes, they might be like so much cooler and so much better. So that person's TikTok is Shay Scott, SHEYESCOTT.
You did a great job.
Thank you.
You did.
Hopefully
did
that really helped. Great job.
And thanks for the gingerbread person.
Yeah,
they're not delicious, but they are informative.
That's the tagline. It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
I've done a lot of unmatching in my days of being on the dating apps. And by days, I mean years, because in hindsight, I've been looking back and I'm like, I've been on the dating apps for literally a decade. This has been successful.
10 years?
Literally 10 years. I downloaded them when I went to college at 17, 18. Well, I think you have to be 18 to get on Tinder. And I'm going to be 28 in 2025. So, 9 years, baby.
At what point do you like, hey, this isn't working?
Listen, Bert.
You gotta be
never give up. It's all about persistence. Okay. Yeah.
And when you say unmatched, that means you match with somebody and then before you go out on the date, you're like, I'm gonna bail on this?
Well, sometimes it's after the date. You can unmatch at any point in time. So I actually ended up unmatching with a guy last weekend who was perfect on paper, all because of where I found out he worked.
Can I ask you one question about the unmatching thing after the date? That's essentially saying, look, I don't want to see you anymore, right? That's so what that's not really even ghosting. That's like, here, we went out, I'm not interested, Because he'll know that you aren't matching anymore, right?
Yeah. I mean, I typically don't unmatch after a date. I, unlike most people, like to use my words when it comes to confrontation. But I got unmatched with after a date because I told him, I was like, I'm not interested in seeing you again. He unmatched me. And that's like a normal thing to do. It hurts for some reason. You're like, wait a second. Why are you unmatching with me? And then I'm like, oh, I forgot. I rejected him. That just makes sense. So yeah, I ended up doing some stalking and found out where this guy worked and immediately got the creeps. So I was swiping through Bumble and, you know, just typical weekend, me looking for my soulmate, just casual Saturday activities. And I'm sounding a little bit like a Love Island character because they always say that, oh, he's my type on paper. And I feel like when you've been on the apps long enough, you every now and then will experience this. I say it happens like once every 2 to 3 months. You see somebody that before you meet them at the very least, is a perfect match for you on paper. So I matched with this guy who I think was in town for a game. I guess they were playing Georgia or whatever. So he was driving into town and I was like, oh, this guy went to a good university. Like, oh, this is exciting. Oh, he looks like he has a good job. It says he works in like finance or sales or whatever those basic boy jobs are. And I start looking through his photos. I'm like, oh, he's really cute. He's like very fit. He works out. He physically is my type. I love the Jim Halpert look. So I'm like, he looks like a Jim Halpert that like lifts a little bit of weights. I'm like feeling really good about this.
This guy wasn't caught in Altoona the last couple of days.
Nah, I'm still working on my letters to that man. Got to figure out what prison to write him to. So I end up swiping with him and we end up matching. I was very excited. And because it was Bumble, I was like, this guy might not know that he can message me first because some guys don't know that that changed on Bumble recently. So you know what? I really want to make sure that while this guy is in town, we can match. So his prompt, because in the dating apps, they'll have a bio where maybe they can give you something to ask them about or whatever. And his bio said something along the lines of like, let's debate this red wine versus white wine. Like, which is your favorite? And I was like, oh, and he's a wine drinker. Love this man. So I messaged him first and I said, the real question is which wine pairs best with a insert university name here loss, because they had just lost that weekend. And I was like feeling really good about myself. I was like, that was clever. He's gonna love this. And then to my excitement, he replies back and he goes, not sure. I'll ask for Billy Napier's recommendation after another disappointing season.
Oh, that's Florida's head coach.
And now I'm excited because I'm like, I love it when men are mean to me. So, so now I'm like, this guy is perfect. Like, this is my perfect match. So I sit there and I ruminate on what I want to reply to him next. And like, I got to come back with like some fire. So I go, UF fans have been numbing ourselves with cheap vodka for years, but y'all can start off light with some Franja if you think you can handle it.
This is good back and forth.
I like
here,
the
man.
Banter.
Yeah, nice. Flirting.
I'm good at this, right?
Yeah.
So I send that off and it takes him a while to respond. So in the meantime, I've got a lot of time on my hands. I start going FBI work. I got to find out where this guy, like if he was in a fraternity, got to find out if his fraternity was cool. I got to find out like, is he a siblings? Does his mom look crazy? So I do all the stalking. And the first thing that women will do when they find a guy on the internet from a dating app is we will go straight to that LinkedIn. Got to find out where you work, where you used to work, what university you went to. Are you recommended by your old bosses? Like, this is the closest thing you're going to get to a dating resume for a man. So I find this guy on LinkedIn and I'm not really expecting to find anything weird because I had seen that he like worked in finance or sales. I'm like, this is perfect. This is exactly what I'm looking for. I love like a Jim Halpert type of dude. See that he was an athlete in college. I'm like, perfect. And he was like a good athlete in college. And then I look at his most recent employer. And it doesn't strike me as odd at first when I see it because it says director of blah, blah, blah at CEC Entertainment. And I go, oh, we both work in entertainment. How cool. Soulmate. And then I'm like, well, I wonder like what they do. Like, I wonder if I know anything that they've produced in the past. Yeah. Kristen just, yeah, it's just sitting with Kristen. I wonder if they produced anything that like I would have, maybe he's like a big producer. Like he's a finance guy, but he's also like making movies. So I Google CEC Entertainment and there in bold letters is the boss, his name, the name of his boss, the big cheese himself, Chuck E. Cheese Entertainment. And I go, I did not date a grown man who works for Charles E. Cheddar. That waved all the red flags to me. I don't care that he's 6'3". I don't care that he's brunette. I don't care that he won a national championship in college. You work for Chuck E. Cheese.
That's funny.
Out.
The Bert Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bert Show's entertainment buzz.
I thought we were going in a very different direction. I thought it was going to be porn.
I did too.
Really?
Yes.
God, I wish it was porn. If I had to list all of the places that would be a red flag for me to work, Chuck E. Cheese is probably number one. Porn is like number seven. Like, at least you got game in the number seven department. All right, authorities are looking into an influencer after her followers noticed something troubling in one of her videos. So I want to give a content warning because we're going to talk about child abuse here. But this all has to do with an influencer named Hannah Hyatt, who originally went viral for an interview for a video that people dubbed the 17 Diapers interview. And this video basically showed her saying, you know, for 24 hours, my partner's been out of town or whatever. I've been single momming it. And we just have diapers strewn all over the house. And so I'm going to take you on this journey of how many diapers I have strewn across this house and how we're going to pick them up and throw them out.
I saw this video yesterday. It's like the grossest thing I've ever
seen.
It's
so nasty. She just has like dirty diapers on the coffee table, on the floor, in the back. I mean, it's just everywhere. She's putting them in the garbage can. She's throwing them out. And that's a thing that goes viral. So she gets some kind of traction for that as like a mommy influencer. But people are getting more concerned based off of a video that she recently posted that shows her son in a car seat flinching when one of his parents walks by. So this video is a TikTok video. She's got a son named James. It's a trip to the grocery store. And in the clip, you can see that when her husband walks towards him, he puts his hands up over his face and flinches. And once moms and parents and everyone saw that, they're like, my kid doesn't do that when I walk by. Mm-hmm. And it almost became a trend of like parents sort of swatting their hands in front of their kids to show that a toddler will not flinch for anything. Mm. So if a child is having that kind of reaction, mm-hmm. there must be something going on in the home.
Yeah. So having a child that's approximately the same age, also has the same name as their kid. He's sitting in the shopping cart at the grocery store and the dad is going to like hand him something, right? So he's like, he's putting his hands toward the kid and the kid immediately just like does this massive flinch. And that is a telltale sign that something has happened previously to cause the child to do that. Because like Abby said, all these parents start posting videos and because I saw this and I even did the same thing with Jimmy. And like, if I throw my hand in front of his face or I come out, the kid doesn't flinch.
Okay. So I'll be real with you guys. I probably have slapped my kids on the booty, both of them total. Five times in their life, five times maybe. And one time, I can't remember what the circumstance was. It was pretty dangerous. And I gave Hollis a slap on the ass, right? The next time I went to hug him, he did the exact same thing. Where he flinched like that, can I say that I broke down crying.
I bet.
I broke down crying. I don't think it ever happened again, but I felt so bad about it but clearly there is a reason why he did that, because it was just 20 minutes earlier where he'd got my hand on his ass and he was nervous it was going to happen again, even though I was going in for a hug.
And so now people are going back and like literally just picking apart every single one of the videos that she has posted, because this is a mommy influencer. And this is how she's gained popularity, because of her parenting and her mothering. And it's giving Ruby Frankie, which was the mom who is now spending time in prison because of what she did to her kids. And I know CPS has been called, so Child Protective Services is now involved. And I hate like the exploitation of kids in this aspect, but I'm almost glad that this video. She did this and this video got posted, because hopefully it's going to protect the child in the long run.
I mean, hot take, they should have been called after the 17 dirty diapers around. Because I do think there's a difference between, like, I think every mom, when your hands are full, especially if you have multiples, has, like, tossed the diaper on the floor if the pail is not nearby. I certainly have. It gets picked up within 2 minutes and thrown away.
Of course.
We don't let them accumulate. They don't, because there's a difference between being messy and having a chaotic house. Like, my house is messy. We have kids. There are toys everywhere. And there are dirty dishes in the sink. But the rest of the house is clean. Like, the places where the kids are, it's clean. And I think people sometimes, you know, they mix up dirty and messy. But 17 dirty diapers just sitting around the house, I'm all for showing the dark and difficult side of motherhood and parenting. But I don't think if you have 17 dirty diapers around the house, like, I think you might need an extra pair of hands.
I also don't think it's real. I think that because of all the women, I mean, if you talk to 100 moms, 100 of them are going to have the same story Cassie does. Nobody allows 17 diapers to sit around an apartment. Nobody. So I think she thought that would be a way to get traction online, which it absolutely did. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's real. But anybody that has that kind of mentality, you'd have to raise an eyebrow at anyway.
So you think she fabricated it and just took diapers and placed them around her apartment and picked them up just to get some kind of like viral moment?
Plus, I got some weirdness surrounding parents that use their kids like this specifically to gain traction online on social media.
Yeah. So, I mean, after I saw all the or the stuff flying around with the second video, when I saw the 17 diapers thing, I was like, maybe she just does need to be investigated for her parenting. I don't know if it's necessarily a PR stunt. But for more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Burt Show.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
I think what I've learned the last couple of days here on The Burt Show is that we have to tweak our definition of quote-unquote a Christmas miracle. Right? A few days ago, we certainly did that. My traditional definition would have been something big and something grand, like we do with breaking and entering when we found a grandmother who has a daughter that has stage 4 cancer that probably is not going to be around for another Christmas to face her kids. And they needed so many things. Grandma had health problems. She just lost her fiance as well. And what you guys did was you provided truly a Christmas miracle in that, I mean, there were, what, 60 items that they were looking for, and you guys ended up hooking them up with, what, 402?
Yes.
I mean, that's a Christmas miracle. They're going to open up the door to their apartment or the hospice or whatever, not knowing where these gifts came from, and all of a sudden, a family that had zero Christmas planned at all now has this magical Christmas, and everything changes. That traditionally is probably like a Christmas miracle, but as we've learned the last couple of days when we're trying to help out another couple of families, 48 to be specific, in some cases, a Christmas miracle is a pair of shoes and a couple of hoodies or an alarm clock. And for those families, that's a Christmas miracle, and that's who we're working on.
And you guys set the bar high. 402 gifts for our original breaking and entering family. So we thought, can we help another family?
Yep.
Or can we help another 48 families? And that's exactly what we're aiming to do. And with those 48 families, there's 329 total needs. That's what we started with yesterday. And just yesterday, Burt Show fam, you took care of 100 needs already. That's over $4,500 of gifts given just yesterday. So as of this morning, starting out, we were already almost a third of the way through what we need to reach our 329 total need goal.
So the total amount that all of these families need, the 48, the total amount is only $14,000. Okay, that's a Christmas miracle in itself. So when we got together with Proposity, which has vetted all of these families, we know for sure that these are the families around town that need the most help. But when we got the list back and they said the most help, like I said before, these Christmas miracles are the smallest little things for some families. Pillowcases.
So, yeah, if you go to thebirthshow.com and you click our Proposity link, we have a birth show team, and that's how you can go through and read the stories of the 48 different families that we're trying to help out. For instance, this student, currently living with her two great aunts and cousins after becoming homeless, finds her best solace in music. With her mother unable to join them, she is navigating her mental health challenges bravely. Sadly, her headphones have stopped working, cutting off her primary outlet. Given their financial difficulties, replacing her headphones would make a world of difference. Wow. So right there, you can turn her Christmas around by a $50 donation and buying her some headphones.
That's a Christmas miracle for them. Some $50. That's it, man.
Mm-hmm. Another one that you can check out by going to thebirthshow.com and clicking our Proposity link to go to our Proposity Birth Show team. This single mom of four works two part-time jobs, but still struggles to cover rent, utilities, and groceries. The rising cost of living means there's no room for holiday meals, gifts, or warm winter clothing for her boys. They're often told they can't have certain things, but despite the hardships, this mom continues to sacrifice her time and energy to make sure her boys have what they need. Your support could bring some holiday spirit and warmth to their lives. Can you gift them a toddler learning pad today?
And what's the cost on that? I'm sorry.
$50.
$50. Wow. What were you saying, Mom? I'm sorry.
These stories just give you some real perspective. Right? It's unbelievable, genuinely, what these kids need.
Yeah, you know,
families need.
And I made the suggestion earlier, as Mo was talking about perspective, going through this list with your kids, that at least from time to time, I've taken a look at my kids and gone, gosh, kind of spoiled, man. What have I done here, right? And when you go on a list like this with a young child and they start to realize that their Christmas looks very different than other kids, I think it's an important lesson.
The last one we're going to highlight in for this time, this student and her family of seven were living in a shelter until their recent move into their own apartment and are excited to have their own place after experiencing homelessness. As they work to get back on their feet, mom is working two jobs just to pay the bills and get basic necessities, leaving nothing left over for household items and toys under the tree. Make a difference by sending a robot toy today, and that is $38.
That's it. Wow. That is really it.
So these are the needs that we are trying to fulfill of these 48 families.
So we fulfilled about a third of them yesterday. A third of them yesterday. So if we can work on another third today, then we only got one day's of work ahead of us. Yeah. And we create these quote unquote Christmas miracles in the smallest ways for 48 different families.
But in the biggest way, making the biggest impact, you know?
So easy to do. You can pick your family. This will take you 60 seconds. All you got to do is go to thebirthshow.com.
The Birth Show.
I've got another law for Birtopia. Now, at some point or another, you guys have probably said, if I was the president, I'd tell you what I would do. See, in my country, my island, there is no vote. There is no Congress. It is a dictatorship, and it's just the world I want, and it is called Birtopia. I told you guys yesterday, I would have the people of Birtopia create some kind of mechanism that if you're on a plane and you fart, there is that dust that chemically can pick up exactly who on that plane farted, and we can shame them off the plane. That's Birtopia, okay? There's another one. Imagine a place where time doesn't exist. Okay, so time exists and like we're doing something here, but nobody pays attention to a clock at all. There is no night. There is no day. There is not meet me at 2:10 in the afternoon. There is no time at all. So it alleviates the stress of time management.
How do you know when to meet somebody?
Yeah, I don't see how that would work.
This place actually exists in the world. I swear to you, listen to this. It's the only place in the world where they live without any kind of time at all.
The only place in the world without time is on the island of Samano in northern Norway. Little known here, yet breathtakingly beautiful. There is no traditional 24-hour clock here. Many residents have taken off their watches and hung them on the bridge leading to the island, symbolizing their readiness to forget the time. If you go there for summer, you will encounter 69 days of polar days and over 70 days of polar nights. In order to fully enjoy the bright summer, the government does not require shops or schools to operate during designated hours here. This is known as the mirror without time. At 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, you can see a group of people playing ball, mowing the lawn, and young people swimming. From November to February every year, whenever you open the door, you can see the beautiful aurora swaying in the air, as if you have entered a fairy tale world at the end of the world. So this small island has been rated as the most beautiful Aurora Island in the world. No one is urging you to do what at what time. After all, there is no clock in the morning, and you don't have to follow a tight schedule. Here, you are so free that eating and sleeping depend entirely on your feelings. It's hard not to be tempted in such a place. Would you like to live here?
Oh, hell yes! Oh, hell yes! You guys don't like it?
I just don't get how it works.
Yeah.
Like, you just show up when you want, man!
Yeah, but, I mean, people can't work 24-7. So, like, if you need to go drop off some mail, or if you need to go pick, you know, you want to go get a coffee, and you show up, and, like, how do you know when it's open?
You don't.
I don't know when I'm off.
You don't.
If you visit the island, how you know when to leave?
You don't. There's right? No arriving and departing times.
Right? You don't.
Hey, okay. You can't even say, hey, you want to go grab a cup of coffee? It's 7:18, because nobody knows what 7:18 is.
And you show up to the coffee shop, and nobody's there because
yes.
They decided that this is not what I'm working.
I'm a
rate off of vibes.
Man, this sounds fantastic.
It's just vibes all yeah. Day.
See you in a bit. And everybody has a different definition of what a bit is. All right, so Jackson here is here to say that there is a C-list celebrity here. First of all, whose 15 minutes has been way longer than just 15 minutes. And this C-rated celebrity should be in jail now.
Yeah, it's the Hawktua girl. She is truly the gift that keeps on giving.
And she's not C. She's a D-list celebrity.
See what you did.
Yeah.
That's funny.
How is it she is still around?
I have no idea.
Managers? Good managers? Well, not good managers.
Right. Maybe not good managers.
Shady managers.
Exactly.
There still might be one or two people that don't even know who she is, so go ahead.
This is a girl whose name is Haley Welch, and she got famous online for a super viral clip of, does someone want to reenact what she says?
You gotta spit on that thing!
Yeah.
She was walking out of a bar with her friend drunk, and somebody put a mic in front of her. I don't even remember what the question was.
It was in Nashville, and this is a really common thing for my generation to do, where these people will start, like, TikTok or YouTube channels, where they will catch drunk people on the street and ask them questions to get viral moments like this, to get traction, obviously. So there's this guy, and he's like, how do you please a man, or something along those lines. And Haley steps up to the mic all... with all this bravado, and she goes, you know, you got a hot tour and spit on that thing. And people thought it was really funny. They were making memes out of it. They were making song remixes out of it. And now, because she's become a meme, she has capitalized off that brand to start the Talk to a podcast and other business ventures, like her illustrious app that'll teach you how to date, called Pookie.
And her parents are in on it also, based on what this subject matter is. They're helping making t-shirts and stuff. Everybody in the family is profiting.
I totally understand, you know, the bag culture. Get your bag while you can, you know, capitalize on things while they're hot. Totally makes sense. But she's actually become a target of a lot of allegations lately for five words that I read that I think would send any Victorian era child into a coma. And that is Hawktua meme coin scam.
The 20th century mind cannot comprehend. No.
Actually, I mean, even if you had told me that a year ago, I would think that that's insane. But here we are, and it's making headlines everywhere. Okay. So have any of you guys actually heard of what happened in this situation?
Mm-hmm. No.
Nope.
Okay, so let me back up a little bit. You guys know what meme coins are in the crypto world?
No.
Yep. Is it the same as a Bitcoin or a little bit different?
It's tangentially related to the Bitcoin. So a meme coin specifically is a type of cryptocurrency that gets released to capitalize on viral moments. You've probably heard of Dogecoin. Mm-hmm. That one gained some popularity lately. There's a Mudang coin now. Everybody is constantly thinking of these new meme coins, and they are incredibly risky, incredibly volatile, and people actually will invest money in them to try and hit it big.
So it's the kind of thing that you would invest in, like you would invest in like a baseball card, in hopes that it turns around quicker and you could double or triple your money in a quick way?
Kind of like that. I would parallel it more to, like, do you guys remember when the GameStop stock was going crazy, and it was purely based on not how the company was doing at all? It was all hype, and that's what brought the price up, and that's what caused people to buy into it. This is the same exact thing, where people buy into the hype. They hope that a lot of people are going to pile on, and then hopefully the coin raises in value. right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's also a term in the investing world called the pump and dump scheme, okay? And that is essentially where you hype up something that's about to get released, like such as one of these meme coins. You generate a ton of buzz. You do a lot of marketing behind it. You get people really excited about it. And that makes people buy into it. It increases the value. And what happens? A select group of people who own actually the majority of that coin or investment end up selling off and dumping all of their product in order to make a quick dollar.
It sounds like insider trading.
It absolutely is.
Okay.
That's what I think where we're going.
Okay. It is 100% illegal. It is fraudulent activity, but because it's crypto, there's a lot of kind of holes in the regulations right now, so it's a lot easier to kind of pull some of these stunts off. So, where does Hawk Tua Girl come into this?
Yeah, where does she come into this? All she did was spit on that thing. We thought she was going to be a different pump and dump scheme.
This is a doozy. I can't imagine that this was her idea. I think it was someone in her inner circle that led her to this idea of how to make a quick buck, and that was for her to launch her own meme coin called the Hawk Coin. Okay.
Okay.
Now, these coins are intentionally extremely vague in what they do. She says it's a way for her to connect to her audience. What does that even mean?
Mm-hmm. And it's not like an actual tangible coin. Like, this is just all
digital.
Okay.
Same way with Bitcoin, which has some legitimacy to it. These are purely based on speculation.
Yeah,
right?
It's a way to connect to her audience's wallets.
Exactly. And so in a textbook pump and dump scheme, she decides to generate a ton of buzz for this coin. She talks about it on her podcast. She's tweeting about it. She's talking it all up. And this is before the coin actually launches. What people don't realize is, this is all alleged, by the way. This is allegedly, is that her and her team are holding on to 80, 90, 95% of the entire supply of all of these coins that exist. And they release only 2% of these coins to the general public to purchase. Okay?
And so they're creating demand.
Exactly. So they create demand. They have a ton of insiders buy all at once in the pre-sale so that it brings the price up. Then people think that they need to jump on the train because the price is going up. This thing jumped to a $500 million market cap. That's the kind of money that we're talking about here.
Wow.
Okay? And so then all of a sudden, once you know the market price is going up and up and up, they decide to offload every single one of their coins that they own, which is 90% of the entire supply, and that causes the price to come plummeting down. So it dropped like 97% immediately after all of this happened.
But in the meantime, she's making how much on this?
So it's alleged that her and her team made about $3 million from that just instantly, and everybody else who bought in on this and kept on holding on to it basically lost all of their money. And so people are calling this a just textbook version of what they call a rug pull, where the rug gets pulled out from underneath them, and her and her team allegedly made a ton of money on it.
Wow. But can we also ask, who out there is buying a Hawk coin?
There were a lot.
He's a bro.
It's why this is actually more of a predatory practice, because they're not targeting your average crypto bro who actually knows a decent bit about this. They're targeting people who have no idea what this is, and they think that they can make a quick buck off of it, and then they end up buying into something that loses them money.
Well, that's their fault for not knowing where their money is going.
I completely agree.
It's The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.